You and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The title of our message this morning is Listen to the Voice. Based on our gospel reading from Luke 3, just verse 4, as it says, the voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make His paths straight. I encourage you to follow the sermon outline that's printed for you in your bulletin, the blue insert, as we consider our theme, Listen to the Voice. Well, the phone rings and you pick it up. And you say, hello? And then you hear a voice. A voice saying, hey, how you doing? And you pause. And the pause gets a little longer and you say, okay, with a question in your voice, because you don't recognize the voice on the other end of the line. This happens to me quite often. People are in the habit of phoning and beginning a conversation assuming you automatically know who they are. Has it ever happened to you? Sometimes it can get embarrassing. You listen longer and listen longer, figure if they talk long enough, I'll figure out who's calling. If you're one of those people who phones me without identifying themselves, quit it! Tell me who you are. You know who you are. Another time the phone rings. You pick it up and say, hello. And then you hear a voice. A voice that says, hey, how are you doing? And right away you know who it is. How come? Because there are certain people whose voices we know so well that as soon as we hear it, we know who it is. Today, on this second Sunday of Advent, we come to listen to a voice. It's the voice of John the Baptist, John the Baptizer. And he has an important message. St. Luke tells us he is a voice crying in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. This is the voice of John the Baptizer. He has an important message for you. So for goodness sakes, don't hang up the phone. He's calling for you. We know John as the forerunner of Christ, the one who prepared people for Jesus' coming. We know John as the wild man living in the desert, dressed in clothing of camel's hair, eating locusts and wild honey. We know John as the man who baptized so many people. Thus, he got his title, John the Baptizer. But most of all, we remember John because of his voice. His voice and the message of that voice. Because John was constantly preaching the same message. Repent! Repent! The kingdom of heaven is near. Prepare the way for the Lord. In the times of the Old Testament, God raised up prophets like Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Amos to call His people to repentance, to say to them, quit following after false gods. Quit making outward appearances as if you're right with God. Quit trusting in your own good deeds instead of God's mercy to give you salvation. Quit your half-hearted worship of just going through the motions. These same things were true in today's New Testament account of John the Baptizer. John was a voice crying in the wilderness for the people of his day to repent of the very same sin. And the people responded. The gospel writers record, and I quote, people went out to John from Jerusalem, Judea, the whole region of the Jordan, confessing their sins, they were baptized by John in the Jordan River. Today, God has sent to us the voice of John the Baptizer. Can you hear his voice calling out to you? As the people of Israel worshiped God half-heartedly, often just going through the motions, today we find ourselves guilty of the same kind of things. Whenever we make a habit of skipping church for other activities, we need to repent. Whenever we hear God's word preached, but really don't pay attention to it, we need to repent. Whenever God's word is proclaimed, but we don't take it home and apply it to our Monday through Saturday lives, we need to repent. Whenever we treat Sunday worship like a burdensome duty instead of a joyful privilege, we need to repent. Whenever we think that our salvation is based on our church membership instead of a simple trust in Jesus who laid down his life for us and for our salvation, then we need, you guessed it, to repent. The biblical word repent means this. Repent means to change the direction in which you were going. Genuine repentance includes both a sorrow for sin, but a change in the way we think and the way we live. Only the Holy Spirit is able to create true repentance and that change in our hearts. The people who heard John's voice were really hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to their hearts and convicting them. The Spirit led them to John to confess their sins and to be baptized by him in what St. Luke calls a baptism of repentance. My dear friends, today on this Sunday of Advent, John is telling us good church people to quit dinging around, to quit playing our religious games, to come before God honestly and say, I am a sinner. When I was a pastor in Ohio, I was a chaplain for an Alcoholics Anonymous group that met every week. And they began their meetings in a way that I wish every church would begin their gatherings. We sort of do in the Confession of Sins. But they would begin their meeting by a man coming to the front and saying, hello, my name is John, and I am an alcoholic. And the rest of the people would say, hello, John, we're glad that you're here. I am an alcoholic, too. In the same way the Christian church gathers for the confession of sins, listening to John's cry for repentance. And if we're honest with ourselves in God, we gather and we say, God, I am a sinner. And the rest of us say, God, I am a sinner too. And God says, I'm glad that you're here, because the church is the hospital for those who are sick with sin. And God says, and I have a cure. Dear friends, as the Holy Spirit led people to John to hear God's word preached and to be baptized by him, so the Holy Spirit has led you to this place to hear God's word and to be baptized. And if there is anyone here today who has not been baptized and has not yet been instructed in the Christian faith, but you have a desire to do so, wonderful. Because God is speaking to your heart. He wants you to know him and his word and to be baptized. Speak with me so we can take care of these matters. Dear friends, through our ongoing, week after week, hearing God's word in this place, our faith is being strengthened. We grow in trusting that because of Jesus, the Almighty Father no longer condemns us because of our sin. When he looks at us, all he can see is you and me dressed in the precious robes of Jesus' righteousness. I say it again. When we gather in this place with our faith in Jesus, the Father no longer condemns us for our sin. He only sees us covered in the precious righteousness of Jesus. Wow! Paul says it this way in Romans 8, verse 1, which probably is my favorite verse in the entire Bible. St. Paul says this: "There is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." A beautiful old hymn, hymn number 563 in our hymnal, puts it this way. This is God's precious promise to you and me. Listen carefully. "Jesus, your blood and righteousness, my beauty are, my glorious dress. Bold shall I stand in that great day, cleansed and redeemed, no debt to pay. Lord, I believe we're sinners more than sands upon the ocean shore. You have for all a ransom paid, for all a full atonement made." We're talking about the cross here. For the Christian, it's all about the cross. Everything we hold dear is connected to what Jesus has done on that cross for sinners like you and for me, paying our salvation. Now, this time of the year, of course, we're all thinking about Christmas and Jesus' birth. But let me tell you, the very reason for Christmas is the cross. Jesus was born so that he could lay down his life for sinners. Jesus was born that he might be our Savior. Christmas without the cross means little or nothing. And that's the reason why at our house, in the large window that faces the sidewalk and the street, we have placed a large cross at Christmas time, covered with Christmas lights, so that whoever passes that window will connect Christmas with the cross. Jesus' first coming as the Christmas baby pointed to the one who would lay down his life for the sins of the world. And Jesus' second coming as the world's judge first and foremost points out that he was the one who already did lay down his life for the sins of the world. And the voice of John in our text today tells his people and tells us the best way to get ready, the best way to prepare, is to repent. Repentance gets us right with God to meet either Jesus as his first coming in the babe of Bethlehem, or even more, his second coming as the judge of the whole world. Are you ready for his coming? If you're anything like Beverly and me, when you know you have a special guest coming to your home, what do you do? I know what you do, because sometimes I've gone to your home as a special guest, and I can tell, I can see the marks in the carpet from the vacuum cleaner. I can see there's no dust on the counter. Well, when Beverly and I have special guests coming to our home, you should just see what we do. We're getting ready for you. So as Beverly is preparing another one of her sumptuous meals, I'm dusting, vacuuming, washing mirrors, cleaning bathrooms, and yes, scrubbing toilets. You should see me. My mama would be proud. Why do we prepare? Because we want to be ready for the arrival of our honored guests. Their coming, their adventing, is important to us. And we want everything to be just right. The voice of John tells us today that the best way for all of us to get ready for the coming of Jesus is to repent, to dust, to clean and vacuum, to clean our lives from sin, and to turn away from them and back to obedience to our Lord. When John's voice called for repentance in our text from Luke chapter 3, three different groups of people asked him the same question. Listen carefully, verse 10. And the crowds asked him, "What shall we do?" Verse 12. And the tax collectors asked him, "What shall we do?" Verse 14. And the soldiers asked him, "You tell me, what shall we do?" And John told them this: bear the fruits of repentance in your lives. And Holy Scripture gives us two broad principles of what it means to bear the fruits of repentance. They're on your sermon outline. Principle number one: turn away from the sin you're repenting of. I say it again. Turn away from the sin you're repenting of. To the greedy and selfish of his day, John the Baptist said these words in the text: give clothing and food to those who are in need. To the cheating tax collectors, John the Baptist said, quit ripping people off. Collect only what is right. To the woman caught in adultery, Jesus said, go now and leave your life of sin. Now we start meddling. What sin do you need to turn from during this Advent season? If it's anger and holding on to a grudge, then forgiveness is in order. If it's neglecting your parents or your children, then giving them your time and affection is in order. If it's neglecting God's word, then a change in your weekly priorities is in order. The fruit of repentance first means turning from the sin you are repenting of and going in a different direction. Principle number two, it's on your handout. Repentance means to restore, if possible, what sin has ruined. I say it again, to restore, if possible, what sin has ruined. When Zacchaeus the tax collector came down from the sycamore tree by Jesus' invitation, listen to what he said to Jesus in Luke 19. Look, Lord, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anyone from anything, I will pay them back four times the amount. What sinned, ruined situation do you need to restore in this Advent season? It is not too late to restore that which has been ruined. Let me say it again. It is not too late to restore what sin has ruined in your life. Please take that first step. No matter how small a step it is, to restore what sin has ruined in your life, make that phone call. Write that letter. Send that card or email. Personally deliver that bouquet of flowers. Take a walk and knock on that door. You know what door I'm talking about. If there is a way, any way, to begin to restore what our sin has ruined, the fruit of repentance will lead us to do just that. And now, we end our sermon where we began. Sometimes when I pick up the telephone, I hear a voice on the other end of the line. And it doesn't call me pastor. It doesn't call me Dr. Harold. It doesn't call me Stephen. It doesn't call me sweetie. That's Beverly calling, not Ewald Wuschke, by the way. When I hear a voice on the phone that says, "Hello, is this Mr. Harold?" then I'm pretty sure I don't want to listen to that voice because it's probably somebody trying to sell me something I don't want or I don't need. It's a voice I don't want to listen to. I just want to hang up the phone. But today in our sermon, the voice of John the Baptizer is calling out to you and he's calling out to me. Don't hang up the phone. Listen carefully to what he's saying to you. His message is a simple one. His message is an important one. His message is simply this: repent. Daily repent. And discover the wonderful difference it will make in your life. Lord, make each of us here today your repentant and forgiven child, ready for the advent of Jesus, both at Christmas and at the end of the world. In the name of Jesus, amen.